I'm going to invite you to turn to, in your copy of the scriptures, to Colossians chapter 4 today, as we continue to look at what the book of Colossians has to say about who we are. As we prepare for that, would you take a moment and spend it in prayer, preparing your hearts for the things that God has for you? Father, as I come to you, I praise you that you are the ever-living, ever-gracious, Holy One of Israel. We look forward, Father, to what you have to teach us today. Help us, Father, to learn about communion together in prayer and about our witness and how it should impact the world. Help us, Father, to see all that you have for us and to apply it to our hearts in such a way that Jesus Christ may be honored and glorified by the things that we learn today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. I encourage you to read along with me in your copy. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. This section of Scripture I have entitled The Believer and His Prayer Life and Witness. The Believer and His Prayer Life and Witness. And I encourage you to focus on this passage even as we function in the Word of God today. Take a look at what this passage has to say. It's so critical and yet so succinct. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Then he drops down a little bit later on. He says, and pray also for us. Then a little bit later on, he says, conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the best use of time. In those three issues, God has given us something to work with as to how we ought to conduct our lives. First of all, he says that we should pray and continue in prayer in verses 2 to 4. That praying and continuing in prayer begins with the word continue steadfastly. Those words mean this, very simply. They mean to persevere, to not stop, to don't give up. Some of the meanings of this word persevere means to be constant, unwearied in prayer, means to be in constant and unbroken prayer, to be in unbroken fellowship and communion with God. It means to walk and to breathe prayer out of our life. It means to live and move and have our being in prayer. These are the way many commentators have described this passage. It means to never face a moment when we are not in prayer. Now here's my question. How is that possible? How is it possible for us to do that? How do we face our life or run our life in such a way that we never face a moment where we're not in prayer? Well, I believe that what Scripture means is this, that we develop an attitude of prayer in our life. That every part of our life is tempered and is salted, if you will, with prayer. That we walk in a spirit of prayer. Let me just give you an example. During the course of the day, you may be working, you may be involved in something really intense, and for just a moment, you may take 15, 20 seconds just to stop, calm your mind, and to spend some time in prayer with God, asking Him to give you wisdom, asking Him to give you direction for your day. All of these things are the kinds of things that we can do as we go through the day. Some of us look at our day, and oftentimes we say, I'm just so busy. But if you sat down and you chronicled your day, what you would find is there are moments and there are times when you can be in prayer. How much time in the car do you spend praying? And how much time in the car do you spend talking to the other drivers? How much time in the car do you spend listening to music or listening to the radio or talk shows or whatever it happens to be? And how much time do you spend talking with God? How much time do you spend at home watching television or being involved in some other kind of an activity that really takes your mind away from who God is? And how much time do you spend in prayer? Prayer is not something that God has given to us as an option. Prayer is absolutely essential for the Christian to be successful in this world. It is absolutely essential for the Christian to be successful in this world. Young people, the earlier that you start to develop an attitude and a heart of prayer, the earlier you're going to understand what it means to commune with God and to know how to get the answers for your life from the right source. Parents, adults, the more that we model that kind of thing in front of our children, the easier it's going to be for them to learn that and to grow in their knowledge and understanding of the Lord. It's possible for us to develop an attitude, to walk in a spirit of prayer, to take mental breaks during the day and to think about those kinds of things. It's also important that we start our day in prayer. When you get up in the morning, the first thing out of your mouth should not be, "What's for breakfast?" The first thing out of your mouth should be, "Let's sit down and let's spend some time with God." Dads, if you're in the home and you're not taking your family to prayer on a regular basis, you're missing the God-given responsibility and privilege that He has given to you. Moms, if you're taking time for running around and being a Martha all over the house and doing all the things that you need to do, but you're not praying with your children, you're missing the opportunity that God has given you as a mother. Every person has the same amount of time in the day. How you use it is up to you. But how you use it tells whether or not you're a person who brings glory to God or glory to yourself. And the strong and the powerful and the important people of history who have made a difference for Jesus Christ have been people of prayer. You should end your day in prayer. You should come to the end of the day and you should be thanking God for the things that He has done. I'm convinced that if more people did that, if more people spent a little season in prayer, just 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes in prayer at the end of the day, there'd be far less frustration, bad dreams, difficulties at night. Have trouble sleeping? I got a great way for you to fall asleep. Start to pray. Satan's right on you then, believe me. I mean, he's working at you because he does not want you praying. He does not want you on your knees. He'd much rather you be asleep and be ineffective that way than to be in prayer on your knees before God, asking Him to make a difference for Jesus Christ. We need to pray in an attitude or have an attitude where we're controlling and we're taking captive every thought. Just keep your finger there in Colossians chapter 4 and turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, just back a few books in the New Testament, just right after Romans, 1 Corinthians. You ever had to break in a new Bible? Boy, that's why my Bibles just fall apart on me, because I hate breaking in the new ones. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, notice what it says. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." God has called us to take every thought captive. Notice what he says here. This passage sounds familiar because the same author, Paul, wrote it in a different way in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, "We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places." But here he says it this way. He says in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Every guy out there that thinks he's figured God out and he's got all the answers against why God is not God and could not be God and everything else is destroyed when we pray for them and when we bring against them our thoughts that are held captive because they're right before God. We don't let our minds wander into areas where they have no business going. We don't let our hearts wander into areas where it has no business going. We don't look for the things that we want. We look for the things that God wants. And that witness destroys the lofty opinions of the quote-unquote wise of this world. We take every thought captive and we recognize that this is what God has called us to do and to be for His glory. Well, not only do we persevere in prayer, we're called to watch in prayer. The word watch literally means to stay awake, to be alert, to be sleepless, to be active, to concentrate. It means to fight against distractions and drowsiness and sluggishness. I did a thing with my young people in Worcester, Ohio, when JC was in the youth group that was a revolutionary thing for them. One of the things we did was we would have an all-night prayer meeting. I kept saying to the kids, hey, we got to spend time in prayer together, a significant time in prayer. And they'd be saying to me things like, well, you know, I got football practice and I got the games and I've got studies and I've got this activity and that activity and all kinds of other things that I've got to do. And so finally I said, okay, I'll tell you what, everybody after the game on Friday night, my house, 11 o'clock pizza party, plan on staying all night long. First night I had about 18 kids show up. So we ate pizza at 11 o'clock. At midnight, we started to pray. And I did a what I call a concert of prayer. We interspersed it with some music, and we interspersed it with times that we did. We followed what I call the act strategy: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And so we started out just spending time worshiping God, singing songs and praying together. And then we started into confession, and I said, you know, if you really want to spend time with God, you're going to have to bare your heart, and you're going to have to say, this is the stuff that's in my heart. Help me clean it up. And then we spent time in thanksgiving, asking God and praising God for the things that He had done. And then we brought our supplications to Him. You know when we started our supplication prayer? 4 o'clock in the morning. 4 o'clock in the morning, 18 young people in my basement were wide awake and praying for their friends in tears, praying for their schools in tears. And they prayed until 6:30 in the morning. Then we all went out and got breakfast. From midnight till 6:30 in the morning, 18 high school young people that first time got together and prayed all night long. And they did not want to go to bed after they got up, after they got done. They were pumped. They were ready to go and to do whatever they could do to try to touch those friends for Jesus Christ because they'd been praying for them. And they stayed up and they watched in prayer. One of the things that we did was we kept changing up the time that we spent in prayer. We'd intersperse some music, or we'd have people pray in different ways, in sentence prayers, and then pray in supplication prayers and that kind of thing. And that kept them awake. Some kids, in order to stay awake and to fight the sleepiness at times, would get up and they would wander around the room and they would talk to God as they wandered, just like this. And they would just be as if they were in a conversation with them in order to stay awake. But they stayed awake. And it was so powerful. And we do that about 3 times a year. And our kids looked forward to those times. And it got bigger and bigger and more kids coming because it made a difference in their life. I'm telling you. When you watch in prayer, when you stay awake and when you work at it, when you put out all the distractions, you spend a day away in prayer, you spend an afternoon away, go up to the lake or go to the mountains and spend some time with God and don't fall asleep. Sit there and praise God and pray to Him and supplicate your heart to Him, entreat Him for the things that you believe God wants you to entreat Him for, and it will change your life. We don't only watch in prayer. We don't only persevere in prayer, but we pray with thanksgiving. He says here in chapter 4, verse 2, that we're with thanksgiving supposed to bring our requests. When someone does something for us, we thank that person. Stop and think about that. When someone does something for us, we thank that person. Now, let me ask you this. How often when you come to God in prayer, do you thank Him? Or how often do you come to God with your requests first? God, here's my list. Here it is. I don't have time to spend a lot of time in communion with you right now, but I got these needs, God. You see, God has called us not only to bring our requests to Him, but to bring our praises to Him. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see You. I want to enjoy You. I want to spend so much time with You that it's like spending time with one who's closer than a brother. I need You every hour, not so You can answer my requests, not so You can make me happy, but because I need You. I need You just like I need the love of my wife and the fellowship of my wife, God. I need that fellowship with You. Is that how you think about your time with God? Or is it an obligation? You come to Him, you know, it's time to pray again. Let's turn the TV down. Let's do our thing. Or is it, I got to spend time with God. I miss that time, that opportunity, if I don't have that with Him. God has called us to come to Him in thanksgiving and to praise Him. And then He tells us in verses 3 and 4 to pray for others, in particular, pray for others in their ministry. In essence, He's saying, be an intercessor. Be an intercessor for God. Pray for others, pray for their ministry, be an intercessor for God's ministers, not just me, but everyone in the church. Not just the elders, but everyone in the church. Pray for those who don't have a ministry, that they may find a ministry. Pray for those who do have a ministry, that they may be effective in their ministry. Pray for your own ministry. Pray for those who are in ministry over you and under you and around you, and working with you. Our praise should be lifted up every day of the year for those that are functioning in the ministry of the church, because this is the avenue through which God has chosen to work. Praying and enjoying God and being an intercessor. We should be praying for a number of specific things. First of all, we should be praying for opportunities for witness, not only for them, but for us. According to Paul, he said, notice what he says here in chapter 4, verse 3. He comes back to it and he says, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open for us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. When was the last time that you not only prayed for somebody to witness that you were witnessing to or that you had a heart for, but you prayed that somebody may have an effective witness that day? I pray that Pastor Dan will have an opportunity to witness to someone. Or I pray that, you know, so-and-so will have an opportunity to witness to someone. Open a door for a divine appointment for them, Father, that there may be an opportunity for them to have an impact for Jesus Christ today. When was the last time you prayed that way? Not just prayed for the ministry, but prayed specifically. When you've got friends and loved ones who need to know Jesus Christ, who live a far, far distance away, how many of you pray that you might have a witness for them? May I give you a better way to do that? Pray that somebody in their area may have a witness, may be a witness, may touch them. They've got a better opportunity. They're there. I don't pray for people around my sister or for me to have a witness to my sister. I try to be a witness, but I don't pray that I'll have a better witness. I pray for people that live around her to be able to touch her life, to come up and surprise her with God. That's what I pray for. I pray that where Brandon is now, that he may have a witness to the guys that are in his unit, that he may begin to touch people's lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ where he's at. That's what we're about. Asking God to give us opportunity to make a difference and to witness. And then also that we pray for boldness in witness. Notice what he says here in verse 4, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Not talking in riddles, not talking, well, you know, I hope the big guy upstairs blesses my day today. But being willing to say, praise God for the things that He is doing in my life. And that we may be bold. I pray that you would pray for me to be bold. And I pray that you would be bold in your witness of Jesus Christ. We must always remember that prayer is one of the laws of the universe. Granted, it's a law that's denied by most and ignored by others, but even so, it is one of the laws of the universe. God has chosen to work through people who pray. Let me say that again, because I didn't hear an amen on that one. God has chosen to work through people who pray. And if you understand that, what's going to make a difference is when you are one of those people. Your Christian life kind of flat? Are you struggling? You feel like you're too busy? You feel like you just don't have enough time in the day? You feel like you're just not connecting with God or anybody else, frankly? You feel like life is just squeezing you? Learn to pray. And you will be different. Take the time, set it aside, make an appointment with God, and say, God, I don't have time to do this, but I'm gonna because it's the right thing to do, and pray. And you will find that God will change your life. The things that were priorities will change. The things that are important in your life now are gonna be different later. But what will happen is you will change. Well, the second thing that Paul talks about is not only that the believer should continue in prayer, but he comes back in verse 5 and he says, we're to walk wisely before people who are without. He says, conduct yourself wisely towards outsiders, making the best use of time. May I say that is simply being an influence to your oikos. Now, the word oikos is a Greek word that means household. And I've kind of taken that and I've kind of turned it into our household of influence. What it means literally is that I can touch people's lives that are around me, people that live around me, people that worship with me, people that I work around, people that I go to a restaurant or whatever frequently. Anybody that I see on a regular basis is part of my oikos. And the question is, who is part of your oikos? Because God has called you to be able to touch their lives in a wise way, to make a difference in their life, and to be able to reach out to them and to touch them by praying for them and by wisely using your time and witnessing and talking to them. We walk wisely before them. We don't just say and do just anything. We start to control our tongue. We start to control our walk. We start to control our temper. We start to control our passions and the things that oftentimes control us when we are in front of somebody else. And especially when it's somebody that we want to have a witness to. And he says, before everybody, we're to walk wisely. And finally, he says, we're to speak with grace, answering and sharing what it is that makes your life different. Verse 6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. There are some people that need a direct statement. No, that's wrong. There are other people that need a question to accomplish the same thing. Have you ever thought about this? And that's seasoning your speech with salt. You don't answer everybody the same way. You don't deal with everybody the same way, except for one thing. You are always gracious. When somebody comes and attacks you, be gracious. When somebody insults you, be gracious. When somebody goes after your Christianity or your family or whatever it is, be gracious. Why? Because we're to walk wisely toward those who are without. And God has called us to be different. Well, what's our faith lesson then for the day? That prayer is essential for our witness to be effective. Prayer is absolutely essential if we want to have an effective witness for Jesus Christ. Why? Because it empowers us, it makes us different, it gives us a heart and a care for the people that are around. Can I throw out just a few things that may help? The ushers are getting ready to hand out to you the new church directory. And so here's what I'd like for you to do. They're going to bring them down the rows and they're going to hand them out to you. And I want to talk to you about why we do a church directory. It's not just so that you can have convenient phone numbers. And so if you're a family unit, I encourage you to take a church directory. There's probably enough for one per family unit at least. And so if you would take one, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Just go ahead and start handing them out, guys. And if they already have one, then they can pass it up. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to start thinking of the church directory as if it were a tool. It's not just a phone book. It's a tool. Now, in that directory, there are 112 families represented, most of whom are people who regularly attend this church, the rest of whom are people who are gone away to school, people like Brandon or Haley McConaughey or Greg Wassel or whoever that are typically gone away, okay? They're somewhere else, but they're not here because they're in school. Now, Haley's here this week, but she'll be gone in a little while, and we need to remind ourselves to pray for her. And the rest are missionaries that don't live here but are out serving on our behalf. Now, here's what I'm going to challenge you to do this year. There's 112 names or family units in that directory. There's 7 days in the week. Anybody else need a directory? We only got to there. Okay, we'll print more. We'll have them next week, okay? Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. There's 7 days in a week. If you break it down and you pray for 8 people, 8 family units a day, in 2 weeks, you can pray for our whole church. In 2 weeks, you could pray for everybody in our church. Now, that means 26 times this year, you can pray for everyone in our church. Wouldn't that be a great thing for us to be able to start accomplishing as a church? And I encourage you to do that. Now, here's how I encourage you to go about praying for them. First of all, go down the list of names. The people you know, pray for knowledgeably for those things. The people you don't know, pray for them and then go meet them sometime in church. Find out who they are. If you don't know, come ask me. I'll introduce you to them. Because if you don't know them, it's hard to pray for them, isn't it? But if you're working down that list of names, you're eventually going to come to this name, Dan Travis. Who in the world is that guy? And you're going to start to develop a heart for not only praying for them, but wanting to know them, wanting to get to know who they are and why they are who they are, why they're here, what they're doing, you know, where they work, what kind of witness they have, what's their family life like, you know, those kinds of things. And you know what will happen? All of a sudden, our interaction together is going to be less and less in pockets, and it's going to be more and more interwoven between everyone. Pray for one another. Use the directory that way. Here's another way to use the directory as a tool. Take the green card that you have and put your email address on there. And if you have an email address, put it on there and say on there, I want to be part of the prayer list, the prayer emails that go out. Every week we send out emails that give out prayers on a regular basis. Now, there's two ways in which you can know of things that you can be praying for. First of all, you can call into the office and ask, and we can go through the list, or you can get an email automatically sent to your computer, and we'll be glad to do that. Now, if you don't have email, let us know, and we'll figure out another way to get it to you. But if you want to be praying for people in our church, that's one of the best ways. And if you want to start to develop a heart for people, that's one of the best ways. Get to know what's going on in their life. Every week on the back of the green cards, we encourage people to write their requests down. And you can do that today, by the way. And every week, we pray for those. Every week, I pray for those. Every week, this is going to sound intimidating. Don't get shook. I take attendance. I go through the list of names of people who are here. And I know when you're here and when you're not. I'm like Santa Claus. But you know what? When I go through those names, I also know and I pray for you. It's part of the program. It's part of what we try to do. Prayer is important. It's essential. And you can be a witness. You can have power in your life just by learning how to pray. The second thing that I want to encourage you to do is purpose to meet people in the church that you don't know. Introduce yourself. It doesn't matter if you've been here 100 years or a year. It doesn't matter if this is your first week or your last week. Get to know them. I was here for, last Sunday, by the way, was my 6th anniversary here at the church. And I was remembering that I was here for 2 weeks. And I had 2 weeks of knowing one person in particular that everybody who's been here for a long time talks about. His name was Harris Cruz. And Harris was here for 2 Sundays and then passed away. I had 2 weeks to get to know that guy. If I had not had the opportunity to get to know him, I'm telling you, I would have missed a wonderful opportunity to know a good man of God. There are people wandering around in this room that you're missing. You're missing the opportunity if you don't take the time to get to know them. Now, don't tell me you're shy. Everybody wants to be appreciated. Everyone wants to be loved, and everyone wants to be known. Just even if all you do is you say, my name is Dan Travis, my social security number is, whatever it takes. But just to love one another and to get to know one another because you can pray better for them. I used to work for Pastor Dean's son. He was the senior pastor at the church I was at in Worcester. And he used to absolutely drive me crazy. Because we would go into staff meeting the next week and he would say, did you meet so-and-so? And I'd say, no. Well, they visited the church. They live at such-and-such and their phone number is, and they've got 7 kids and their names are 1, 2, 3, 4, their dates, their birthdays and ages. And he just seemed to be able to do that. I mean, it just had this remarkable memory. And I go, how do you remember this stuff? But you know what? I'm finding it more and more easy to remember that. When I begin to touch people's lives and I talk to them and I get to know them and I meet them and I fellowship with them and I have lunch with them and I can remember these people. If you're a visitor, I can remember you. I may not get your name right off, but most of the time I'll try to remember because I pray for you. When you walk out of here, even if I don't get your name, I'm going to pray for you until I get a chance to get to know you better. The third thing, third application that you can do is become a part of a growth group where healthy interaction and prayer for one another happens weekly. If you're not in a growth group, you should be. There is no apology about that. You should be. I know how hard it is to get the kids ready. I know how tired we are, guys my age, at the end of the day on Friday night, and we're saying, oh man, I can't do this. But I'm telling you, the longer I've been in growth groups, the more I feel blessed because I have the opportunity to pray with brothers and sisters. And every week we have more people praying for one another in growth groups, and we have more people praying for our church than the average church does in its regular weekly prayer meeting. Because we've got 60, 70 people wandering around the city on Friday nights and Saturday nights getting together and praying for one another. Those are significant times. They are essential to the life of our church. The fourth thing I would encourage you to do is write down your specific requests and keep track of them somehow. Start a journal, even if it's in the front of your Bible, and write down the request, the day you made the request, and then look for God to answer that prayer and keep track of it. You know what you'll find? All kinds of things that God is doing. Wonderful things that God is doing. And you just forget because you've been praying about it, and then eventually it kind of goes out of your head because it's not written down. Have a prayer list. I got up one time in the middle of the night. It was to me anyway. It's normal time Dean gets up, but it was 3:30 in the or 4:30 in the morning, and my dad was downstairs already dressed and reading his Bible. And I came down and I said, what in the world are you doing? And he didn't have to be at work until 8:30 in the morning. And he said, well, I always get up at 4 o'clock, and then after I get up, I pray and I spend some time in the Bible, and then I study my Sunday school lesson, and then I do some other things, and then I pray through my prayer list. And he showed me his prayer list. For the first time in my life, I ever saw his prayer list. Huge list. Hundreds of people on that list, and he prayed through them every day. And when there was an answer, he'd write answered over here, and then write how it was answered and the date. And that's what kept him going praying. Because you could look at all the answers that happened later on and see how God had worked. And finally, ask God to give you opportunities to affect your oikos for Jesus Christ and for us to have an opportunity to affect our oikos as a church for Jesus Christ. Our household of influence, pray about it and ask God to lead you and direct your path. Now, we're going to spend some time, and I encourage you to write down on your green card your email address and prayer requests and those kinds of things, and then just send them down maybe to the middle of the row here, and we'll leave them on the chairs afterwards. But we're going to spend some time, and David's going to come and the team, and they're going to lead us in worship. And we're not going to just sing one song. We're going to sing a few songs and just worship together. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to feel free to get up from your seat or get out of your seat and to come forward and to ask God to direct your path in prayer if you need to just spend some time in a garden of prayer up here and just spend some time asking God to lead your life. I'm going to encourage you to, if there's somebody that you've had on your heart to go pray for, to get up and go while we're singing and pray for them, to go over and put your arm around them and say, you know, I just appreciate you, and I just want you to know that I've been praying for you, and God has laid something on my heart, and I just want to pray for you now. I'm going to encourage you to interact in that way. And I'm going to encourage you to worship with us. Don't distract. Don't start talking about the game last night. That's not important. But start talking about God together. And what's going to end up happening is this is going to be a sweet, sweet time of fellowship if you let God direct your path.